You know, why don't you go through a minute and see, so I have an idea what the...
Well, I just have businesses. What kind of businesses? When and where? What was it like? How have they changed? What has happened to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
well, like the meat markets, you know, they had sawdust on the floor, and all, you know, compared with the modern way of the meat's all packaged up.
Were there meat markets here in Grand Haven?
Yeah, well, there was two in Spring Lake.
Two in Spring Lake?
Yeah, Nixon's and DeFreeze's.
Oh, really? Do you know, where were they?
Well, one is right there next to Warburg's. It's that video, you know, that video.
Oh.
And the other one they tore down, it's about right about where that war, that little place right next to the Idaho Hall is now.
When were they in use? When was that crime?
I can remember when they had, during the war when they had meat was rationed, they were still in. Because people used to stand out in line when the meat would come in to get their meat. So.
And they would buy the meat, butcher it, and sell it? Or would they just... Or would they butcher meat for people too?
No.
Brought it in?
No, it was you go in, just like you go to Meijer's and buy your meat, but it was all
different. What was it like?
Well, let's see. Well, they had a hunk of. If you wanted a steak, T-bone steak, they'd go in the refrigerator and bring out half a cow to cut the piece off.
Let's see.
Or if you wanted hamburg, they grind the hamburg right there.
So it was good and fresh.
Yeah. Huh. But they had, they'd have a quarter of a cow or a half.
Yeah.
In whatever part you wanted, they'd cut it right there while you waited.
Okay.
So.
That's where people got their meat.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have, like, supermarkets.
No.
So most of the
meat you want, got your meat at the meat market, you got your groceries at the grocery market, the grocery store.
Where would you get like your eggs?
Well, they had them in there. They had them both there and the grocery stores.
Oh, okay.
Or you had the farmers used to come around delivering eggs with the milk. They used to deliver the milk.
Okay.
You've seen those milk bottles downstairs.
Yeah. Do you have any roast milk bottles?
I don't know. But, The ones that had that little scallop top.
Yeah.
And we put a spoon in and you dump off your cream.
Oh.
And if you left it out in the winter too long, it would freeze. And
oh, no.
Yeah. So, there's lots of things.
Yeah. Okay. And you were talking about a shipping business or something?
Well, the clinker boat, but that I don't really know too much about that. But like the meat markets and the grocery stores are so much different from now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they used to have the barrel with the crackers in and the barrel with the...
Really?
Just like...
And that would be at the grocery store?
Yeah, just like part of Meijer's now, you know, that where you buy your bulk food, so much of that, so much of your stuff you got bulk food.
Okay.
It was...
Was it like a grocery store? Was it like a meeting place? Or
lots of times it was like your country store, the country store up there in the back. So they had a little bit of everything in some of the. Then until the A&P stores came in, then they had their meat and everything.
Yeah.
But before that, it was all like Spencer's. They had groceries, and Swabs had groceries, and Nixon's and DeFreeze, they had the meat department market.
And then your milk came with the milkman.
Yeah.
So you got your stuff pretty much fresh.
Yeah.
And
delivered.
Pretty much every, you know, daily.
Yeah. Yeah, they deliver your milk right to your door. So.
Well, what do you know about the clinker boat? I have no idea. What is that? What is it?
It's that boat out in the back.
Oh.
That back room.
Okay. And what did it do?
Well, they just made it. Well, let's forget the clinker boat.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to know, was it for transportation?
No, it's just for pleasure. This was just a rowboat.
Oh, okay.
Just that one hanging up out. And have you ever seen that one?
Oh,
the paper?
Oh, there's one hanging up in the bedroom.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And then you worked at Brock's?
Mm-hmm.
How long had Brock's been around? I think I've seen a sign. But...
Oh, let's see. They had their 50th... They had an anniversary. They'd been there years, long time.
Before you?
Yeah, well, see what year... They had an 50th anniversary when Mr. and Mrs. Brock, but it's been there long, since the early 18s.
Oh, wow.
The early 19s.
Do you know, are any of the Brocks alive then?
Yeah, there's one. Get Raynard.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Do you have him down?
No, I don't think so.
Get Raynard. He knows a lot. He lives up on the main street.
Raynard
Brock. Because he could give you lots. He'd be a good one.
Okay. And what year around did you work there?
I worked there in 1941.
And what type of stuff did they make?
Well, all the baked stuff, all the gooey stuff was made in the bakery. Right is where the bakery is now.
Would people... buy their bread there, like they couldn't find bread in the grocery store?
No, they had bread in the grocery store.
They did too.
But you've been in Brock's.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well,
I just wondered if it was different.
No.
It's changed.
No, that is the same.
It's the same?
But behind there used to be a little building
mm-hmm.
where they made cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were putting 25-pound boxes. Then they would take those all over. All over, Muskegon, Grand Rapids, all over. It was a regular cookie factory.
Sure. Okay. And when did they end doing that?
I think it was about early 50s. Let me draw that down.
Okay.
I worked there for about 6 months. No, 3 months. For $15 a week and made the boxes.
Wow.
And packed the cookies 6 days a week.
Have you ever eaten any cookies?
I don't eat cookies.
Uh-huh.
For the longest time, I'd never eat cookies. But now, Andy, the guy that was the baker, he and I, we'd always go in the other part of the bakery and get the jelly, the...
Bismarcks
and those things, and they'd come out and get the cooking.
Okay. How do you think the business, like observing from today and when you worked there, how do you think Brock's business has been? Do you think it's gotten better or worse?
I think it's about the same.
Constant.
They have the same stuff out. But I think, like the cookies, in like Town Talk cookies, those are cut out mm-hmm. with a cookie cutter. But where I was, they had he'd put the dough in, and it was like a roller, and they'd cut a whole bunch at a time.
Oh, so it was like the starting of the assembly line.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
A lot of machinery.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next on the list we have education. Okay, where did you go to school?
Holmes. I'm not Holmes. The regular, the Spring Lake School.
The one that's not there anymore?
No, where the library is.
Okay.
And we went through 10 grades.
Okay.
And we had to come over here for 2 years.
Oh, really? To Grand Haven?
To graduate.
I see.
And that was a change from, you know.
Well, what were your classes like at Spring Lake? Was it, did you have one teacher every year? Or
up to... We got 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Then we went
to your five.
We had 6 rooms.
Okay.
The hall upstairs. So, and then we went, and we had like a gold graduation.
In 10th grade.
Uh-huh. We got a diploma there. Then we come over here.
How do you feel your education was?
I think we got a good education. A lot better education, I think, than sometimes now. That
really? Yeah.
All the teachers had time to spend with you.
So they really tried to make help
uh-huh.
you learn.
Yeah.
Instead of give you your stuff and run off. So
yeah, no. Like Mr. Holmes, he taught me algebra.
Okay.
And sometimes we will only work on one problem a day.
Oh, wow.
But when you got through, you knew. You knew what it was. Mm. He wasn't one that would say, you do 10 of them, you know, and leave. He would go right through from start to finish. And if somebody didn't get it, he'd go over it until everybody got it.
And then when you had to go to Grand Haven, did you feel they, the kids that you were with, the Grand Haven kids, were you about the same educationally?
No, I think we were a little bit better.
Really?
Because almost every valedictorian, salutatorian came from Spring Lake.
Oh, really?
Because I think we had a better, well, now, like, in our class of 36, when we came to Grand Haven, there was only 12 of us came to Grand Haven. There was 20 in our class.
Where did the rest go?
Some of them didn't go on to school.
Oh, I see.
So you take only 20 kids to compare it with what the classes are now. And the teachers, I think the teachers now can't be bothered sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Where back there, they were there to teach the kids. They wasn't there to get the money.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the sports.
No? Did Grand Haven have sports?
Or? Yeah, Grand Haven has.
Now, were the sports available to girls?
Not as much.
What sports could girls do?
Go get the annual. Go get this in the back room. They got the annual there. And it was, they didn't have all the stuff they had now, but they had more like the sewing clubs and, you know, Latin club and those kind of things. But I think the girls' sports really didn't come into fit.
Now, what year did you graduate?
38.
And when you went to Grand Haven, how did the Grand Haven kids treat the Spring Lake kids? Was there always a rivalry?
Mm-hmm. We were kind of outsiders.
Oh, really? So you didn't really blend in and kind of stick together? Mm-hmm.
Well, some of us were all right because we had the skating rink down here.
Uh-huh.
And the ones that used to go to the skating rink, we knew the kids. But some that didn't do that were kind of pushed. Pushed to the back.
Yeah, because didn't have the time.
Uh-huh.
So, did you skate a lot?
Oh, yeah.
That was very popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't even have a prom our years at high school.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't have any dances or anything?
We had a skating party.
Oh.
Because it was, you know, we figured by having a skating party, well, everybody was skating. You could come on your own. You didn't have to have a date.
I see.
The whole class came. You know, it wasn't like if you didn't have a boyfriend,
you couldn't go.
Yeah, and you know, we really had good turnouts.
That's good.
So we figured everybody should have the chance to go. So
was that the popular thing to do on like Friday and Saturday nights too?
Oh, we used to go every night.
Oh, well, every night. What did you do when you went out with your boy?
Well, we never.
A certain place that you?
We never really didn't have any boyfriends. Like
we were all a group.
We were more groups.
Okay. What other places would you go to? I mean, was there like a bowling alley or something?
Is that wrong?
Yeah, it's good.
I was recording?
Yes, we were recording.
Well, no.
Oh,
no,
what did you do?
No, nothing. It was just actually, a bunch of kids would get together. We'd go skating or ice skating. Or we'd go to somebody's house.
I see. Like, I'm just trying to figure out where the popular spots were.
Well,
like if there was a bowling alley that was really popular.
Well, the barn had the skating. Then on the side of it, they had duck pins, and they had a ping pong table, and then they had these a little pool table and an ice cream place. So you had everything right there at the barn.
Okay, I see. It was called the barn.
Uh-huh.
Is it now the Grand Haven Roller Rink?
No, it's right down here where that little park is.
Oh, okay.
You know where the little stores are underneath that?
Yeah.
It was right down there.
Oh.
Then on Saturday nights,
that was roller skating, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Then on Saturday nights, in the summer, they'd bring in, like, Cab Calloway's band, Ted Williams.
What's Cab Calloway?
Oh, it was just big local old-time bands.
What type of music did they play?
Oh, Benny Goodman's Swing.
Oh, okay.
All those nice old songs.
Okay.
So.
So you kind of, you were... probably around 10 during the Roaring Twenties, the very
yeah.
Roaring Twenties. What do you remember about the Roaring Twenties in Spring Lake? Did it roar?
No.
No.
No. No.
How about that? The changes, like in women's roles. You know, what women were allowed to vote and.
Oh, you could vote then, but
in
nothing.
1922 or something, wasn't that when the amendment was?
No, I don't remember, but I know the first president I voted for was Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, was it?
For his fourth term.
Because
I said, because we couldn't vote then until we were 21.
Yeah.
So.
Probably still be that way.
Yeah, it should be, but it is.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So the Spring Lake pretty much changed very, very gradually.
Uh-huh.
In Grand Haven also.
Yeah, until all of a sudden they wanted to do everything for the resorters.
Yeah.
We didn't think of resorters back then.
Yeah.
But.
So when, I know like in the 20s, like the Page Girl haircuts came in, were they like a fad here? Or?
Well, I didn't remember because of. Because I was only 10, 12. And like the kids back then, we always done things together.
Yeah.
It was never a girl and boy or like,
yeah.
In like that one.
Going out on a date.
No. Well, like the last times on a Saturday night, sometimes I had 12 kids over at the house. We'd make waffles and play cards and just have a good time.
Well, how did you meet your husbands or boyfriends or whatever?
Well, I met
after high school.
Yeah, well, I met my boy, my husband. He was came with a CC camp.
Oh, that.
During
the war?
No, it was before the war.
Yeah, during the Depression.
Yeah, in 1930. They came here, I think, in 1938, and I met them in 1939 at the barn, and I was married in 1941.
Ah. And what was he working on here?
He was working with, he was at the CC camp. Well, all the beach grass across here, they planted that beach grass. And as you go along the highway, you see where all the pine trees are in rows.
Yeah.
They planted all that. It was kind of a conservation thing.
And I've heard somewhere that didn't they make that hospital during that time too, the North Ottawa Hospital?
Not the CC camp.
No.
I think some of the WPA that was during the Depression.
Okay.
Time they done that.
Well, what's the CC? I remember.
It's the conservation. It was kids that. Couldn't get work.
During the Depression. Okay, now I remember. You had to be like under 20.
Yeah, under. Yeah, yeah. And they had the kids all over the places. Roosevelt was one of the ones that came up with that.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah,
and then when the war came in 1941, the CC camp was disbanded. And then we had a naval reserve. Or group of naval took over as a training place for the kids before they went into service.
So this area had a lot of the CC kids. More so than other areas, you think?
No, I think it was, they try to keep this certain group.
Same number per population?
Yeah, So, put my husband, he worked in the office there. And
how did he feel about this town?
Well, it wasn't too bad then. It was more the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Where everybody used to congregate down to skating rink. We'd meet everybody there and things.
Right.
And then as we got older, then we used to, when I got 21 and stuff, then we used to go to Muskegon to Club Curio, and there's a place where we could dance and have a little drink. But we never thought of anything like that while we were under 21.
Yeah.
The kids didn't think of drinking. So it was one of those things which I wish it would go back.
Anyway.
Yeah, I wish it would go back to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of community clubs did this area have? You know, like sewing club or whatever? Or what community events were popular?
Well, I know over in Spring Lake, we used to get together and make knit sweaters and made baby clothes and things during the war for the British people. And booties and all those kind of things. And just once a week we'd get together in Seoul.
What was that called?
Well, it was just a group of ladies got together, and I think the Red Cross bought the flannel and stuff, and we'd make up nighties and things. And then I used to knit, so they'd give me yarn to make sweaters. And then it was like a turtleneck with just a front vest, like just a thing, I don't know what you call the dickie with it,
yeah.
For the boys to put under their coats to keep them warm.
Oh.
But there was the Eastern Stars and the Masons and all the regular clubs that are here.
Okay. What community events were popular? Was there a festival or what was?
No, there wasn't. I think after the Escanaba sunk is when they first started with coming up with a, one year they came up with a parade on a certain date. I think that's how the Coast Guard thing started.
Mm-hmm. But when was that? Do you remember? What, around?
I think it was right after the war.
Okay.
In the early 40s.
Okay.
So.
So people mostly just went about their work?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't just out all the time.
Was there a big Christmas dance or Christmas social?
Not that I can remember.
How about like Christmas caroling?
It was more family, or you'd stay more in your own family. I can remember like on Sundays, every Sunday evening, my aunts and uncles and cousins would all come down in my house because my grandmother and grandfather lived there. Every Sunday, it was the whole family was there for supper at night. But nowadays, you don't even see your relation. Yeah.
So what were the holidays like then? Just usually family gathering?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had two other aunts. So on Thanksgiving Day, we'd go to the one aunt's, and Christmas, they'd come to our house, and New Year's, they'd go to the other.
Did, the town string up lights or anything? Or?
No, not too much. It's just the last years they've got to decorate.
Yeah.
It was more your own families.
When did they start doing the nativity scene?
Oh. That was after the fountain, and the fountain's 25 years.
Okay.
So it's been within the last 20 years.
Yeah, the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So.
So did, like, the Christmas time, did Santa Claus come down the chimney?
We always thought so.
Okay, so that was...
Yeah, they made an awful, you know, to how they do the kids. Now all the kids are too smart for their own britches.
Yeah, well, they missed out on a lot of good.
Yeah, they
missed
out on lots of...
But I don't know, I believe till fifth grade, so I didn't miss it.
Yeah.
How long did most kids believe in Santa?
Well, I don't know. I made them think I did the other 15.
Wow. That was pretty good.
I think we all did, the kids back then. Didn't let on.
Did you have an Easter Bunny also?
Oh, sometimes. Not as much as the Christmas.
How about the Tooth Fairy?
Oh, yeah. We used to get a nickel.
Did you?
A big whole nickel.
That's it. When you were in fifth grade or when you were five and you lost your first tooth, did you get all excited about the Tooth Fairy?
No, I don't remember.
No?
That's too long ago.
No. So, but most of your friends believe in the Tooth Fairy, too, then?
I think all the kids did.
And the Easter Bunny wasn't as much of a...
Mm-mm. Not that I can remember.
Did you hide eggs and stuff on Easter?
I don't think my folks did.
Uh-uh. Did you celebrate May Day?
No.
First day of May?
Uh-uh.
I think that came from England, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But, well, of course, Halloween, of course, was always...
Oh.
We used to have fun on Halloween.
Did you really do tricks on Halloween when they didn't treat?
Oh, we didn't go trick-or-treating.
You didn't? What'd you do?
Oh, we just go out and soap windows and...
Oh, you're kidding!
No.
You didn't even offer something.
No, the kids never went to house.
Oh.
We just go out and...
Anybody's windows or the guy you have a crush on?
The stores. I remember one year, my girlfriend and I, we walked all the way over to Grand Haven because the boy she was going with couldn't come out that night, or he was sick. Our folks told us we couldn't go to Grand Haven, so we walked over, and we walked back in the rain, and we were sopping wet, and our folks wanted to know where we'd been. We just said, out, and they said, well, why didn't you get in?
Okay.
We didn't dare tell them we were.
Yeah. Did you ever get caught for that?
Nope.
No? Maybe I should tell this. Somebody would be in trouble, though.
No.
Did you, what else did you do besides soap windows? Did you throw eggs or whatever?
No, we just went out and had a good time. Just kids got together and...
joked around?
Yeah. Just...
You little punks.
Yeah.
Little devil.
Yeah, you could call us. Or we'd sit on the main street and just...
Did you put on costumes?
No? Uh-uh. No. I don't know when trick-or-treat started, but... but we never used that. Like, I remember my mother saying they used to go out and tip over back outhouses.
Oh, my gosh. Did your mom grow up right here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she did?
Yeah, my mother was born in Spring Lake.
Oh, and she lived here all her life,
uh-huh.
too? Wow.
Yeah. So, like I said, I was born in my house and never moved out.
Wow. And your mom's going to bat houses, huh?
Uh-huh. Guess I can remember saying that they tip one over and there's an old man in it.
Oh, you're kidding. What'd they do?
I don't know. She never did tell me that.
Oh, my gosh. What did your mom schooling? Did she ever tell
it? She only went to 8th grade.
And was it a one-room schoolhouse?
No, it was in... No, it was in Spring Lake.
Spring Lake, the same school you went to?
Yeah. But they didn't have the high school, you know.
Yeah.
She had to go to work, like most of the kids back then. When they got to 8th grade, they had to go out and work.
Where did your mom work?
She worked at... the Volpix, they made those mini blouses. So my dad, he worked at the piano factory, the basket factory. He was a fireman over here. So,
a lot of
stuff. Yeah.
They both pretty involved in the community.
No, people that I don't think people got into community things.
Yeah.
Not as much as they did, like in the 50s.
No, it was more, you were more family oriented.
And you lived, like, in town, so you had neighbors and, did you have, like, girlfriends lived across the street?
Oh, yeah, a block away. And then she moved up on Prospect Street, close to where the schools are now. And then we'd, at night, we'd walk half, we'd take to walk each other halfway. That was about where the old, where the library is now, where the old school was that I was telling you about, the fire escape.
Yeah. Can you tell a little bit more about the fire escape now that it's on tape?
Yeah, well, when we'd have a fire drill, we always had an idea when it was, because the teachers would have wax bread wrappers, because they always had to send the boys down first.
Was it like a tunnel?
Yeah, it was a great big, it was a great big tube.
Okay.
And as you, when the fire, they'd come, the door would open out, just like these doors.
Okay.
They'd hit the door and go down. And it was dark going down, and the boys get down there and watch the girls come down, because we all wore skirts. But I didn't find that out till just a few years ago. But we always wondered why the boys went down first.
So, the teachers didn't do anything about it?
No. But the teachers never go down. So my girlfriend and I always used to head the other way for the bathroom to the fire.
Because you hated doing it? Or
yeah. We just, I didn't like to go down that.
Yeah.
Because as you get in, it was dark.
Yeah.
You didn't know where you were going.
If you were any bit claustrophobic, that would be awful.
Uh-huh. But I know some places they have just a half one, but ours was covered completely. So, but it was fun. So.
So you marked off geography, geographical areas.
Well, right down here, right near where Bayer's Boatwork is, the mineral spring. They have a cap. There's a little square box.
How long was the mineral spring there? I shouldn't ask that. When did it stop being popular for?
Well, when the hotel burnt down. That was in 1916.
What hotel?
That was the Spring Lake Hotel. That was right there by Barrett's Boat Works.
And then that's when the mineral spring stopped being.
Well, they had an old pump there as kids. We used to go down there. They had an old hand pump, and you could go down and pump and drink the water. But to me, it tasted like sulfur, and it was a rust color. And it didn't taste very good, but the boys always said it did.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, they capped it. But it's right there. They have a square, a wooden box over it now. So I suppose they could go into it.
Yeah.
But
with people, did people, when the hotel was up, they come for medical reasons?
I think so.
That
was before my time.
Yeah. And all that stuff was.
Yeah, all the.
Was that more in your mother's era?
Yeah. Because I can remember Mother said, my dad was in the fire department over here in Grand Haven, and he always said that if the Spring Lake house ever got on fire, for Mother to call him. Well, the night of the fire, Dad and them got a call to go out to the tannery, because they thought the tannery was on fire. But it was a reflection of the hotel, and so the place was burnt. But Mother said that there was one old man, he carried a feather bed out, then went on back upstairs and threw a plate glass mirror out the window.
Oh.
But carried a feather bed out of the door. they were so excited.
Yeah, they couldn't see what they were doing.
Yeah, so.
Did the old man live there?
Yeah, well, all the neighbors were, everybody was trying to help save as much as they could.
Oh, I see.
And
I guess he didn't save that mirror.
No. He should have thrown the feather bed out.
Yeah.
Carried
out the mirror.
Yeah.
When did the fire happen during?
In the spring, I think, of 1916.
Okay, so you were pretty young.
I wasn't even here yet.
So graduated in 30. Yeah, that makes sense. So born in about 1920?
1918.
Oh. So you missed it by 2 years.
Yeah.
And what was... Okay, was fishing in this area as popular? Did you draw lots of people?
Well, I don't know, but we could go down and fish in Spring Lake and catch fish like crazy.
Oh.
You could catch all kinds of fish. Now, I think with the power boats and everything, they disturb the eggs and things.
Oh, the whole lake is getting older.
Yeah, and it was so dirty compared back then. The lake was so clean, but you didn't have all the power boats and stirring up the water.
Was it like you go out fishing and for fun in the summer?
Uh-huh. You could go out to the pier and within no time they all catch 100 perch.
Wow.
Where now you're lucky to stay out there all day and catch
one thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did people take boats out on the lake too?
Yeah. But we didn't have the boats like they do now. It wasn't as big.
You wouldn't have, like, a little rowboat,
or...
Well, you wouldn't want to go out on Lake Michigan
with a little rowboat, anyway. No, but there wasn't too many. It's just in the last years that the big boats have come.
They've done all the time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Was salmon big, though?
No, there was no salmon then.
When did salmon start?
Ooh. I mean, it's 12, 14 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. I thought it was longer.
It could be longer, but they planted them in to see if they would grow here in the...
Yeah, right.
Because usually salmon is more of a salt water.
Yeah. Did you catch a lot of really big fish and did you eat them and stuff?
Yeah, you'd catch bluegills and sunfish and perch.
Is it, kind of an advantage to living near the lake? I mean, the people around here, is that what they thought, kind of?
Yeah. If you want to fish dinner, you go out and fish.
Yeah. The people come from Grand Rapids,
too. Yeah, but then they were used to have to come on the inner urban, so many of them. They didn't have the cars like they did do now.
So the inner urban was...
See, that quit, I forgot, about 28, 29, I think. So, but we used to come back and forth on the interurban.
Do you know what kind of fish were the most abundant, or pretty much all the fish that
in
the area?
Uh-huh. Well, like Dornbos, them, they'd go out and catch your, white fish and all of that for smoking. But we used to just catch the bluegills and the perch and things.
Do you have any favorite fishing areas?
No.
No.
Right down in front of my house, we used to fish.
Okay.
But I wasn't too great of a fisherman.
Next, social events. What big social events occurred while you were here? Were there any really big...
Well, we used to have our class reunions and your things at the country club. They used to have fairly big dances and things. But it was more of that certain...
At Spring Lake?
It was more of that type of people. And the regular people didn't get to too many of the things.
Did you have, when the mayor was elected, were there... big parades or anything?
No.
Like
that. No. You just went and took office.
Okay, so it was kind of a very quiet town.
Yeah.
Peaceful.
Yeah, we used to have our own town. We didn't have the...
Yeah. That's destruction of people.
Yeah.
What do you know about the military in this area?
Well, outside of the Company L, it was been here for years. which I think has changed its name now to Company A, the National Guards, and then, of course, the Coast Guard, and then, like, the CC camp, I think that was part of the... Then we had that naval training here for a while.
Oh, we did. I never heard of that.
That was right after when the war started. They used the CC camp because they had all the barracks there. They brought the young men here to train them before they went to...
They trained them in the lake.
Yeah, they trained them, and then they sent them off to war. And right down where the Busy Bee is right now, it used to be, I don't know if it's still there, they had like a, all those places they called where the kids could go and play and sit and read and like a, I can't even remember.
Park?
No, it was a little meeting place for the service boys.
Oh, okay. The Busy Bee, is that over by Cook's now?
Yeah, no, it's right down here in that next block. It used to where the Busy Bee used to be, I think.
Oh, yeah. The Busy Bee's over by Cook's.
Oh. Well, it was right here on the main street.
Yeah, it wasn't until that
time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Did you ever have any need to call out the military in this area?
No. But I know my dad, before mother and dad were married, they got called up to Copper Harbor when there was a strike at the copper mills up there.
Mm.
But they used to go ahead and they had to, they got called out quite often.
And your dad was in company?
Yeah. Until he got married. So, and he got all that.
Did they have like any problems with bootlegging in the 20s that you know of? You were very young, but...
No. Well, I don't know whether they did or not. But they, like I said, back then, the kids didn't think of those kind of, we didn't think of...
Well, when you're, what, you know, I didn't think of that either when I was 6 years old either.
Uh-uh.
How old
are
you?
Yeah.
Okay. Was the, did the Coast Guard have a big impact on you?
Not,
growing up the Coast Guard here?
Not necessarily, because most all the kids in town, I know all the kids I knew, we all learned to swim when we were young. It was never,
yeah.
It was never a thing where you didn't know how to swim. I think I learned to swim when I was 4. You couldn't go to the lake unless you,
right.
you knew how to swim. No.
Going to the beach in the summer, was that a...
Well, we never went to the beach because we had the lake so close to us.
Oh, okay.
So...
But did the Grand Haven kids go to the beach?
Yeah.
So that was... It was like a...
Yeah.
Little beach parties or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, volleyball. Oh, we didn't have volleyball.
Oh, whatever. What did they do? Just talk and...
Swim. Yeah. I suppose the kid boys had footballs and things, but the girls and boys never really went together.
Yeah,
it was a group of girls go out, or but at night, lots of we'd get together and have a hot dog roast, or you know, things like that. But it would always be, it would never be in couples. It would always be groups, which I think is a nicer way to. Go.
To avoid a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Do you know when the Coast Guard came to this area?
No, it was here. It was here when I. Well, I don't know how old that Coast Guard station is across the lake over there. But
sure, it says somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the, probably in the early 1900s, maybe even before. So. But it really never came to Coast Guard City to ask after the Escanaba was sunk.
Uh-huh.
And then they, because everybody was so mad about the boat being sunk, and almost all the fellows were local.
How did it get sunk? I don't know.
During the Second World War, it was torpedoed.
Where?
Out in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, okay.
and only two of the boys survived. So there's still just one living now.
There is?
Uh-huh.
Where?
He lives in Chicago. O'Malley is his name. He's here every year for the Coast Guard thing.
Yeah.
But the other fellow, I don't know, he died some years ago, so.
Was there a lot of boating when you were young? A lot of, like, steamers or?
Well, there used to be right here, there was a big warehouse, and the boats would come in. And then there was the car ferry boats. They'd bring the trains. The train would bring the cars here, put them on the car ferry, and take them over to Milwaukee. And then there was a big steamer here, and then over there was across where the chamber is, there was another where they'd bring in passengers from Chicago, Milwaukee. So.
The warehouse, what type of goods did?
Well, everything.
From the whole area.
Everything coming west would come to here, and then the trains would take them.
Okay. It's really quite an industry then.
Yeah, it has to go around. They used to take ferry it across.
Did a lot of people work?
Yeah.
That was one of the major things that supported the town.
Yeah.
And when did that start to die out?
Hard to remember dates.
Oh, not exactly. Just around.
Oh, let's see. I think just about the time the Second World War started.
Yeah. Due to trucking, or?
Trucking. And cheaper that way.
Yeah, people had more cars, too.
Yeah,
Okay. So do you think that the Maritime?
Maritime.
Yeah. The maritime activities have become more or less active.
For shipping and all that things, I think it has died out. But
all little tourist stuff.
Yeah, pleasure boats have sure increased.
Yeah. Pretty soon they'll be calling this the city sail.
Yeah. Just like I heard on the radio the other day, they were talking about next year. Coast Guard, I think it was Sunday, Bill Strike and the head of the Coast Guard was talking, and he said next year they're going to have so many boats here, they're going to think they'll have to close the harbor for a week during Coast Guard.
Wow.
And Bill said, what, you can walk across the river without getting your feet wet?
Yeah, geez.
So.
Okay. How has your lifestyle changed?
What way?
Well, I guess you feel that things have become much more to convenience.
Yeah, well,
you know, everything is like the supermarkets cater towards convenience.
Yeah, well, now when you go to a store, you can go get anything you want in one store. Where growing up, if we wanted meat, we'd go to one store, canned goods to another store, milk to somewhere else. You had to run around, where now you can get everything in one.
Do you like it better?
Yeah, I think it's a lot simpler.
Yeah.
But, like, you can get anything at a supermarket, where we had to go to meat markets, you'd go there for meat, but I think I liked it. The way they used to cut the meat. You asked for a hunk of meat, you got...
You got it.
Yeah, you knew it was fresh. So.
How do you think the town's attitude has changed? I mean, you think people are more rushing about?
And I think they're trying to make it too commercial for the tourists in the summer. And the people who live here all year round have to suffer the summer months.
It's kind of ruining the quaintness of the town.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Making it like a big neon sign.
Yeah, you're losing the homey effect.
That's half of what drew most of tourists.
Uh-huh. Like it used to be, used to know all your neighbors, and everyone down the block, now you don't know hardly anybody. Only the few ones that live around you. You used to walk down the street and say hi to somebody that lived 3-4 blocks away. Now you don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
Even Spring Lake is getting that way.
Yeah. You don't like it?
No.
What it's doing?
I liked it the way it was before.
You think it makes people more irritable? Or?
Well, I think you're in a hurry too much. You got to keep up with your neighbors are, you know, I like the more quiet, peaceful life.
So. I suppose a lot of it's just what happens when places expand in our society.
Yeah. Just like all this building of the highways and all those things.
Okay, let's see. Native Americans, that's a very different subject than anything we've been talking about so far. Mm-hmm. Were there families that lived in this area?
Well, my mother used to say when she was little, she'd get up in the morning and the Indians would have their teepees right down by the house.
You're kidding. Oh, my gosh.
They'd come in the night and put their teepees up and sleep, and then they'd get up in the morning and fold up their teepees. So. Away they go.
Did your mom ever have much contact with them?
She didn't say, but right now, my folks, my great-grandfather came here in 1834.
Wow. You have an awful lot of history in your family.
Uh-huh. And then he went to war, the Civil War, for one of the Savage Boys. And that's how we got the property where I'm living on now.
He went to the Civil War for what?
One of the Savage Boys. Back then, if somebody had money and didn't want to go to war, they could pay somebody to take their place.
Oh.
And my grandfather got 5 lots and an old cabin for going to war for one of the Savage Boys.
Okay.
And my grandfather, he built a car 2 years before Henry Ford.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he didn't get his car.
But he didn't have the money to go on with it. And then my grandfather, he used to run Lizzie Waltz, a small boat. He'd come here and pick up fruit and stuff. One of the big boats would come in and take it up as far as Fruitport and take passengers up there.
Is that how Fruitport got its name?
I imagine, I don't know.
I don't know why they'd name it something like that.
No, I don't know. But then they used to haul us stuff down here to send across to Milwaukee and Chicago. So.
You're the American Indians that lived around this area, you know, according to your mom or your grandfather or whatever, were they nice?
I think so.
Had no problems.
Uh-uh.
Were there any other families that you heard of that ever settled in this area?
Well, there used to be one family, I can't think of the name of it now. The man lived here for a long time, but I don't know what his name was.
Do you know how he was accepted socially? Was he a hermit?
No, yeah, I think he was kind of lived out by himself. But it was nothing to, you know, people didn't think anything of it then.
Yeah, not all this big prejudice.
Yeah.
How was the problem with blacks? I mean, were there any black families or any Korean or, you know, any sort of Asian?
Well, the only black family I can remember coming to Spring Lake was the McFarlands.
Did they have trouble?
No.
They were accepted?
Uh-huh.
And did they have children?
They had an adopted boy.
And did they have any trouble?
No. Jimmy was the only one that went to Spring Lake School and graduated there.
And he had no problem?
Mm-mm.
He made friends?
Yeah.
And do you remember, you know, like during the Civil Rights Movement, you know, in the 60s and stuff? I mean, was
not here in town, Spring Lake or Grand Haven, but now Muskegon where there were so many. But now, when I went to school, there was two colored girls, a girl and a boy. But they were just like, we didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
They were just like we were. And I know Hudson, he was a big football player, you know, in the sports and everything, but...
Yeah. It's the same thing for my age, you know. I think our area is very, very good with that.
Yeah. But now, like Muskegon and those places, but I think, well, now like this family I'm talking about, they come from the South. Mm-hmm. And they wasn't pushy. You know, like some of these northern colored, you know, they just want to take over. But they came from the South where they had been raised, you know, that to push. Because she always used to call me Miss Betty, and my mother's always Miss Jessamine. You know, it was her way of accepting the whites. So. And I always kept saying Miss. Not too long ago, I said, "Why do you call me Miss?" Now she just calls me Betty. But
yeah,
but
yeah,
it was just their way of bringing up.
So, back to the Native Americans, I want to get to, for all you know, on that subject. Is there anything else that your mother, or your grandfather, anyone said about them?
No, they said they didn't bother you if you didn't bother them.
Did they have any influence?
Not that, you know, to go way back, I imagine, but I think they kind of kept their own way, just like anybody else. So.
And did they ever end up? What? When did they finally? I mean, did they ever end up on reservations or?
I don't know whatever happened to them. I suppose they were just traveling along. And
the Indians in this area probably slowly died out.
I imagine so.
It's sad. What neighborhood did you live in? What, did it have a name or anything?
No.
No. Just Spring Lake Town?
Yeah, just the town of Spring Lake.
Were the neighborhoods classified in any way? In Grand Haven or in the Tri-Cities? Or?
Well, I know they always used to kid us as kids that we lived on the right side of the railroad track. I don't know why they ever talked about that. But I think one reason, some of the families that lived and where I lived down that way, they had factories and had a little bit of money, some of them, you know.
I see.
Not everybody, but there were some.
Still,
and they were always considered, you lived on the right side of the railroad track, but I don't think it was just the kids kidding you.
Yeah.
Because we had like the Burnsides and the Savages and Louds and all, you know, those kind of people.
So, but pretty much through Spring Lake, it was people were pretty much the same.
Yeah,
middle class.
Yeah,
middle class family.
Yeah.
Is that also true in Grand Haven? Or was there a poor section in Grand Haven? Or?
Well, I think like down this way by the railroad tracks and Elliott Street, where some of the factories were, I think it was considered more of a poor part of town. Then there's always the East End. And
see, I don't understand people. Oh. I was just saying, I don't understand the East End. I've heard people talk about it and say they grew up in the East End, but what is it and where was it?
Well, I think everything was on the other side of Washington, way out, you know, by the tannery, out in that section was the East End.
And what was it?
I don't know, it was just part of the city, but they just nicked their name there.
The East End.
Yeah.
And so you say, oh, I live in the East End.
Okay.
Was there a West End or a North End or a South End?
Not that I know of.
That was the only neighborhood with the name.
Really. Yeah. Well, see, being over in Spring Lake so much, you didn't hear.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know why they ever nicknamed themselves the East End.
I have to ask somebody from the East End.
Yeah. Get hold of Chuck Nelson. That has the primal prop.
Oh, yeah. Because
he lives out that way.
Sounds good, too.
Yeah, he'd be a good one. He's about my age, a little bit. No, he's younger, I think, than I am.
So, when did the Frano Pup come in?
Well,
start up?
He's had a good many years.
Yeah.
You have to ask him that.
Yeah.
Ask him that question.
So, transportation, did your family have a car?
Uh-huh. Took a one family car for years.
Yeah. And to get anywhere, you could take the interurban.
Yeah. We used to walk. Like my girlfriend and I, when we came home from school, we'd walk home every day.
Grand Haven?
From Seventh Street, we walked home.
Jeez.
And it would take a half hour to get home.
I bet it did.
Every night we'd do it.
Well, you know, that's faster than it took for me.
There was no school buses.
No.
And when we'd go to school in the morning, we'd ride over with her brother. And he had a little factory right there where Olberg's used to be. And we had to be over there at 6:30 in the morning to go to school at 8.
What was Olberg's and where did that used to be?
Well, right there on Jackson Street.
What was it?
It used to be a challenge refrigerator.
Oh.
And then at Olberg's, they made mufflers. So we'd depend on if we didn't want to walk to school in the morning, we'd come in with him at 6:30.
The interurban, was it a treat to get a ride, to ride on it, or what?
Well, I wasn't 10 yet. Because that went out in 1929.
Oh,
okay. And we walked to town. They took that. But it wasn't, you didn't have a car to go all the time.
Yeah. And then were boats popular, passenger boats, or just mostly for the tourists that came from Chicago?
Well, it was, you didn't take that unless you wanted to go across the lake or something.
Did many families do that?
No, not that I know. People didn't take vacations back then.
Yeah.
All this has come out later, these vacations and everything.
What sports were popular in the 30s?
Well,
when you were in high school, was football?
Football.
Was it did the families all go to see the football games? Was it a rah-rah thing or not really?
No, it was more just, not being a boy, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we never used to think of going to football games.
Oh, really? Okay, so it was very different.
In basketball, it was more...
The attitude towards sports was different.
Yeah, because it was more of a boys' sport, and the girls didn't think too much of it. And
so there wasn't all the, like, now we have a football game, and you get tons of people to go and watch it. And how did you feel that changed in the 40s?
Yeah, I think after the war, you know, they got into all this big leagues and all this stuff. And
yeah.
I think the people, well, then they were coming out with more in schools and everything.
Do you think the war contributed maybe people's patriotism and the likelihood they want to stand up for their school or whatever?
Yeah, because now, like I know the year I graduated, we had a golf team, but nothing was talked about like they do now. And then there was baseball, but they didn't have softball or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly the three sports.
And then in the 1950s, was that when they really started getting into the football crowd?
I think so. And then like soccer and all these other things.
Did they start getting more sports for females, you think?
Yeah, just like in the high school band. They never had girls in the band until 1938.
Wow.
Everything, it was always boys in the band.
Wow.
Because I know some of the girls that... You know, some of the girls in our class were the first girls to go into a band, high school band.
What were the girls' attitude towards sports? They must have not had, you know, thought one way or another because they were never given the opportunity to study.
Uh-huh. But we would have been more roller skating. Everybody had that on their mind.
Did you ever get offended? Like, did you ever feel upset about
going to sports?
Because not having them offended?
No, because they didn't even think of it.
Yeah. And when females were started going into the band, did you think that was good, or?
I don't know, because I didn't play an instrument, and I didn't even think anything about, you know.
Yeah, you had no idea what the band was, why it was there, and you didn't.
Uh-uh. No, because I didn't care about it, so why bother?
did you feel any different? How did you feel when sports were made available to women? All of a sudden you started hearing about women's basketball.
Well, I think it was nice that there's girls that like to do those things.
But you never,
I didn't think about it because I didn't have anything.
Sports are just starting something you're interested in. What was this community's reaction to Tri-Cities?
Well,
did it just kind of creep up?
I just think it just kind of gradually.
No big change.
No,
Big war.
No. I think it just kind of grew on you as the town grew. And you didn't think anything about it.
What was your favorite form of recreation? I shouldn't ask that, I know. Roller skating.
Yeah. Roller skating, swimming.
Fishing.
Yeah, fishing. Just the things that the kids used to do. It was.
Did you still like to fish nowadays?
I used to. Yeah. I haven't fished for so long. I don't.
How about roller skating?
Well, let's see. The last time I roller skated was with one of my brownie troops.
Uh-huh.
Girl Scouts. Hmm. And I've got 31 years in Girl Scouting. Well, it must have been about 20 years.
Wow.
And I had my own skates.
Oh,
and I got on, the kid says, "Can you skate?" I said, "I can't skate." But after I got the feel of it, it all come back. But I wasn't as limber as
because
I used to be able to do flips and turn around and skate back.
Wow. Oh, I never could do that.
It took me a little while, but it came back. But I wouldn't want to attempt it now.
I never did want to attempt to start with. What do you know about the natural history of the area?
Outside of lumbering, there's 10 mills in Spring Lake, and then just the things that the factories and everything that was built here.
Were there a lot of dairy farms? Or cheese?
Well, let's see. A part of Spring Lake had lots of vineries or wine, or grapes.
Geez.
All up there. Just on the other side of Lake Avenue was all vineries.
Oh, they did?
Uh-huh.
Wow, and they made wines then?
No, they used to send their grapes. They'd come and send them to, I don't know, Chicago or somewhere. Let's see, what else? There was.
Do you know what happened to those? They just gradually got bought out and turned into houses.
And let's see. There are so many of the factories that have disappeared now that first started here. Like, used to make this challenge refrigerators. That's disappeared. And then there used to be Kitty Cover. That's a little place that made little overhauls for kids. And there was Peerless Glove Factory that's gone out of business, the Piano Factory, Bastion Glassine, all the old kind factories are going out, like fishing and all.
It's just tourism.
Mm-hmm.
The main industry.
Yeah. And so many little factories have, you know, sprung up since the Second World War. Because the kids in service can get homes, sad little factories. But like the big factories, the Japanese have kind of bought out so many of those. Or like the piano factory, the Japanese companies put out pianos that were so much cheaper than it just hurt all the big businesses here.
You told me a little bit about your parents being early settlers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My grandparents.
Yeah, your grandparents.
Yeah, and then my grandmother, she came from Canada. Mm-hmm. So.
Your grandfather?
My grandfather was born here. Or he was born in Ada.
Oh, okay.
Because my great-grandfather came here.
And how did they meet?
Right in the Spring Lake.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And then we lived with them.
Did they have any... By that time, was this area a pretty well-established community?
Uh-huh.
Town?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So they didn't have... Did they have anything to do with helping get Spring Lake on its feet? Or?
No. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. Not,
they were they involved in the politics of the town?
No, uh-uh. No, not right. They didn't. My grandfather, you know, ran Rosie Walsh, and he worked on cars. He was a very good mechanic. And
what's the Lizzie?
Yeah, it was a boat that took things up from Fruitport to Grand Haven. So.
And your great-grandfather lived here also?
Yeah, he came here in 1834.
That's right. And what you told me, I'm getting tired, I can tell.
Yeah.
Forgetting what you told me he did.
He had a grist mill. He ground flour and things.
In
Spring Lake.
Oh.
And then he built boats and things. He was kind of built things. And then my grandfather, he worked for Challenge Machine, plus run the Lizzie Walsh. And all I can remember is grandfather as being retired and working on cars when I was growing up. He died in 1928, so I only knew him for 10 years. And he didn't do too much at that time. He was more like a friend to me. So, and when he'd work on cars, he'd give me a little pan of gasoline, of course, which they didn't think dangerous then, with a brush. And I'd have to clean all the little parts of the automobile with a toothbrush.
Oh my God.
I'd sit about an hour with clean parts and gasoline.
Did he pay for it?
No. No. But I could blow myself up now. But they didn't think nothing of it back then.
They didn't have any idea what they were doing.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess the gas wasn't as powerful as it is now.
Yeah, maybe. Any special family traditions in your family?
Well, my mother and dad, when they got married, they moved right in with my grandparents. Then when we got married, we moved right in with my mother and dad.
So that house is almost a tradition.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Do you have children?
Yeah, I have a daughter and a grandson. And Brian, he's the sixth generation to have lived in the house.
Oh,
so
that's not a house you're going to want to...
No. It's a house of memories.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Uh-huh.
And you prayed that on the...
I had it on a couple of years ago. But it's just home to me.
Yeah.
It's, It's nothing fancy or anything. But,
still. I mean, something that stayed with your family for so many years. Yeah.
But like I can always remember, like on the Sundays, when all the aunts and every Sunday, everybody would come down for supper at night. And it just was a nice get-together.
How did you get ice cream?
We used to make it.
Important question. You made your own ice cream?
Yeah, sit and turn the crank. Yeah, it was good.
I bet it was. Mm-hmm. What, did you only make ice cream on special occasions?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like you could go out now and get.
Yeah.
We didn't have the treats lucky that you go out and get all those kind of things.
Okay. Last thing is on the depression. Did that make a big impact on you?
Well, I like I said, I was 10, but yeah, I can remember my dad wasn't working, and right up where the Wesley Methodist Church is now, it was a big fox farm, and my dad and my uncle, this man, he wanted a bunch of trees cut, so they'd go up there and cut the trees, and my cousin and I, we'd help them load it. We had an old 9-passenger Studebaker, and we'd put the wood in there, and then they'd bring it either to our house or my uncle's house. So that's the way we heated the houses. And my cousin and I would help load it in the summer and bring it down.
Was there noticeably a difference in your diet?
Yeah.
When you had.
My dad took half of our garage because we couldn't have it afford the car. We did have this old car, but it ran all around. So we put chickens, so we had our own eggs. And on Sunday we'd have chicken dinner. Otherwise it was stewed tomatoes and bread. And my aunt would say that my dad, well, he's going down for a loaf of bread today. just get bread. We didn't have all the fancy things.
Did you know you were missing anything?
No, I don't think so. Cause
that's about how all the people survived.
Yeah, yeah. But I know that now we had a family across the street. They come from England. They'd go to the welfare and get everything. I said, don't you go to the welfare, Daddy. Well, we could have got more things if we went to. But we just lived on what we had, and they had a garden. And,
You could make it.
Yeah, you could make it.
And you were a little too proud to go to the welfare. And also probably people who needed it more.
And then instead of having butter, we have oil. Well, these people on welfare, they'd have butter and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
But I was just too proud.
Well, it did have a pretty big impact, because otherwise you wouldn't have met your husband either.
No.
Would
you? No. So I think it was a good learning experience for all these kids that today, everything's handed to them on a platter.
Yeah.
They should go through something like this.
Luckily, you were young enough, too.
That
you could take it as a learning experience and something that crippled you for the rest
of your life. But back then, the people there didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was working at the bakery there, $15 a week, 6 days a week, for that much kind of money.
Yeah.
But it sure didn't go far.
You live at home.
Yeah. Well, I was married then.
Oh, okay.
And so, but all the things were cheaper, but yet you still couldn't make.
It's awful.
So it was fun. I enjoyed my life growing up. I wouldn't want to change it, I don't think.
Think you'd ever want to move from this area?
Mm-mm.
No. Did you ever move for a year or so?
No.
Have you gone on vacations?
Oh, yeah.
You always come back and love it here the most?
Yeah, I was always glad to get back home. This is God's country. Yeah. Like my husband, he was raised in Pennsylvania, but he always liked it so much better here.
Yeah. So. I can understand. Mm-hmm. I really can.
Yeah. But, like I said, I would never want to change my life. Or
that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. So. I think sometimes the people that live here don't realize how much they have.
Yeah. They don't realize how lucky they are.
Yeah. Some of the kids that go to high school, it's unbelievable. They take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait till they get out into the real world.
They got hard knocks nowadays.
Yeah. What do you mean by what?
Well, you know, if suppose a depression had come along or anything right now. What would all these young kids do with all the debts they're in?
Oh, yeah, all the problems they have. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I think that's about
yep.
covers everything.
Okay.